I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown. Every day I'm moving further from your only show dedicated to local art with your hosts David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Here we go.
Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday. It is 10 o'clock. We are at the epicenter of global warming.
Yes, we are.
What is going on?
January, and it's like 60-some degrees. What the hell?
12,
like,
40, 5, 60.
Like, what the hell? What is
Make
going
up
on?
Your mind.
I know, right?
Mama Nature?
Yo, seriously, like, she pissed.
Yo.
She is pissed.
Yo, I knew she was pissed like at the beginning of the year. She just turned off the heat for America and like y'all get no
right? It's
two
like
weeks.
It's like we
no
didn't
heat.
Pay the bill. It's
yeah.
like
you know what y'all did. You know what you're doing to the world. You're on probation. You're grounded. No heat
we
for
got,
2 weeks.
We got grounded by Mother Nature.
It is January the 21st, and this is Homegrown, your local show about progressive art. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo, a.k.a. A.M. Dawn. Remember P.M. Dawn?
I do.
Said it just don't live in this for me.
Woo!
Can't let a soft brother live. They can't.
You
let,
know,
they always
can't.
Have to be hard. Can't let a soft brother live.
Oh my God.
Love the black hippies.
Right?
Love the black hippies. He was the first original.
We were just talking about that.
Too funny.
About how the whole like concept of like black love and the fact that like even as kids, like the older generations who like helped raise us,
mm-hmm.
like never showed any real amount of affection. So like, you know, hey auntie, good to see you. Love you.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You're like, well,
because you know
but
what?
I just said, what are you?
But you know what I found out? But you know what I found out? My dad hit me to something. He was like, I wouldn't say something. I'd let the song play. The song was the channel for the male emotion.
Yeah.
He would just rock the song that just corresponded to whatever feeling he was feeling.
Right? I got
so
it.
So he'd just be like, click, and then play for his lady in the car, and she'd be like, I know what you're trying to say. I know what you're trying to
you're
say.
You're so precious.
And he'd be like, all right.
No. like, all right.
Glad I got that out,
next.
Right? Thank you, Temptations, for transposing my emotions.
Does that mean when your dad had to have a conversation, he just had a whole playlist?
Right.
Yeah, right.
No. He just pulled out his records. Because I want you to listen to this. No, hold on. Now I want you to listen to this song next. And then this song.
Why do you think Earth, Wind, and Fire is like so like important
yes.
in my life?
Yes. Yes.
See, life is a fantasy, son. You just don't understand.
Right?
It is more than what is on the outside.
Right?
It's on the inside as well.
Son, you are shining star.
And I was born in September.
I know.
Facts. All right. Enough about us. Let's get to our guests. Let's get to the art of the new Charlottesville that is growing.
Yes.
That is burgeoning. That is bubbling underneath this old, crusty, racist Charlottesville. We're just going to sweep
ooh,
that away.
Ooh, it's old and crusty.
Yeah, it's just, it smells, too.
We a little
just,
bit.
Just get that out. Mm-hmm. Get
somebody needs
to statues out of the way.
Take the trash out. Take the trash out.
Yeah. Let's get rid of all this stuff. All this old metal we don't need. And new Charlottesville. And with us in that mission is the wonderful Patsy Asuncion.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want some of your, whatever you took or whatever you have, I want some. My goodness. What energy.
What a great weekend.
Yes.
It's been. I'm really happy to see you again.
Good to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, the first time you came on and you shared so much words of like, because I'm a poet too, at least I try to be. And when you just come across such great poetry that you read, that you wrote yourself, it's just, it's really good stuff. So I'm just
Thanks.
Happy to see, like personally.
Thanks.
So let's get to the nitty gritty, shall we? She is the coordinator of the Women's History Month in March. But it's actually Women's Year. It's the year of the woman. Let's
it
be
really
real.
Is.
Let's be real here. Screw March, y'all got March.
And, you know,
April, May, June.
About freaking time.
Yeah. About freaking time.
About freaking time.
Yeah.
Actually, today, January 21st, is the anniversary of the Women's March a year ago.
That's
yes.
right.
And now the theme is, you know, power to the polls.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was at the Women's March in D.C. last year, and I have a poem that was reprinted in a new anthology.
So let's get right into it.
Nasty Women Poets, an unapologetic anthology of subversive verses, edited by Grace Bauer.
Can you hold
and
that book
King.
Up to the live thing?
Sure.
So you can see what the book looks like, so you can pick it up.
By Lost Horse Press. And we're doing a reading during the month of March at the Bridge.
Very cool.
Women's Month. And I want to read one because it was... it's called Math for Girls Counts, and since my name is Asuncion, it's the first poem in here.
Oh!
And
like a little
closer to her. And as an older broad, it was written really for some of the younger women that were marching yesterday, that are protesting today, because it's been a long struggle, and I'm glad to see women more empowered, but we've had a long road, and we still have a long way to go. So it's called Math for Girls Counts. It's kind of a documentary poem about our struggles. Before they were great-great-grandmothers, they stood in lines for singular equality, for one scale blind to gender, creed, or color. But their right to vote was delayed until 1920, 144 years after white men, 51 years after black men, as if women were mere household amenities used as conveniences. The vote hoped to move the line closer to a public voice in fiscal and sexual values, but it took 16 more years to change birth control methods from obscene to legal mail hidden in plain brown envelopes, to head of the household husbands, a married man, the only good housekeeping seal of approval. Connecticut's 65 defeat freed the pill for the sanctified wedded. I remember unmarried pregnant girls shamed and blamed for bad choices while boys were just being boys. The 82 ERA defeat subtracted 60 years of female rights, 100 years since suffrage. 15 states still have not ratified ERA, now a dusty museum piece. Defeat meant I had no credit, no bank account, no property without my husband's name. Addressed as Mrs. John Doe, my first name unimportant. A nondescript dustpan beneath spousal steps. The recent Hobby Lobby Act fractionalized 73's Roe versus Wade by granting corporations religious rights to reduce reproductive choice, lost winnings to poker cheats. Despite the centuries-old male monopoly, women have done the math. Equal means equal, not less than.
Woo!
Thank you. So I'm proud to be a part of this celebration of women throughout the whole month of March with The Bridge. Alan Gafinski, the executive director,
awesome.
And I are, he's fabulous.
He's doing a lot of great new stuff with The
and,
Bridge.
And I love The Bridge because the sole purpose is to use the arts to promote diversity. And
yes.
As a biracial woman myself,
yes.
It's critical that we help Charlottesville, especially in these days, to come together as a community through the arts. And I think this is another great opportunity to bring women from all walks of life to this event. March 8th is actually International Women's Month, so our day. That's been going on since the 1920s.
Right.
This History Month of March has been since the 1980s. So ladies, especially I'm talking to you young women, get involved, know what your history is, join us. We are asking, we are calling all artists from all walks of life to join us. Right now we have Planned Parenthood, Shelter for Help in Emergency, otherwise known as SHE, the Fire Tigers with Flora Lark and Jonah Bailey. We have a black poet, a Me Too poet, Lauren Mann, Hilda Ward.
That's awesome.
Lauren's awesome.
In her mid-80s, who's a black poet in town, who's been a mover and shaker in the community through live poets and others. She'll be reading. There's we're going to have a reading of Nasty Women. There are three or four artists in the greater D.C. area that have stepped up and said that they would come. We have a couple of professors, Mary Carol Hackett, who grew up in an impoverished circumstance, who's a professor now at Longwood University. She's coming. Cynthia Atkins, another poet and mental health poet, I might add, along with Cynthia is Angela Marie Carter, who is another advocate artist, visual artist, poet for mental health issues, along with Susan McCulley. She's a black belt in NIA, N-I-A, which is a fusion type of dance program with karate and stuff. So she's going to be at the bridge.
Oh, wow.
And Balanle Adeboye. Balanle, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. She's a local artist from originally Nigeria who is going to be displaying a big blackboard. So women passing the bridge can write their thoughts, can include themselves. Even if you're not an artist, come by and write your thoughts, write your heart on that blackboard. So we have lots and lots of folks coming to this event already, but we want you. We want you to come out. We have folks from the LGBTQIA community coming out. We have people of color coming out. We want you make space for us. You can contact the bridge at info@thebridgepai.org, or you can come by the bridge, or you can message me on Facebook, Patricia Asuncion, Asuncion. So that's what I have to say. We're open to any possibility. Please let us hear from you.
Well, we got 15 minutes more left, so I hope you got some more stuff to say.
No, I have a question. So, in the past year and a half, especially, for me, art has become not just the way I express myself, but definitely the way I resist. Mm. It has definitely become, my form of standing up. Has it always been that way for you too, or has that been something that's grown in intensity over the past few years?
I think it's grown in intensity, but it's a cycle. I know that in the 60s with all the beat 50s with the beat poets, and the 60s with folk music and the protesting. I mean, using the arts as a personal statement has always been a familiar part of my life. But I see women stepping up and using arts, using song, using even the knitted pussy hats, you
right?
know? I mean, I think women seem to be more united, taking a stand. The Me Too was a breakthrough, I think.
It really was, yeah.
And I'm pleased to have some of those writers, and you don't have to be a poet just because I'm a poet. I mean, I have a storyteller that's going to tell a very poignant story about when she was 11, and a couple of friends, buddies,
right?
You know, hit her in the chest, and you know, and she hid that. It was like she caused it, and that mentality is still very prevalent today.
Oh yeah. And it's pervasive. It changes every interaction
you're at fault.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Me Too campaign, too, but after the break. But I do have a question about, expression of art and resistance and activism versus just, you know, being an activist and writing about it and being a writer and being, a novelist. I would argue that to most people, like, Joni Mitchell is a more famous person, you know, just to the average layman than Elizabeth Cody Stanton.
Right.
And I would say that Nina Simone is like more famous to like, say, you know, Afeni Shakur or something like that. So with that being said, and not to say that one is
more important than the other, right?
Than the other. I'm just saying, do you think that art is a better way? Not even a better way, but just a more
immediate way.
No, I guess people can embrace it more. People can embrace a song or a painting or a dance routine and how it makes them feel, the emotions that they, you know, that stir up inside them. Not necessarily when you read something and you see something and it's like, oh, that's messed up, rather than somebody like turning it into a song. Like when Bob Dylan wrote The Hurricane, a lot of people knew about it than when people read the story about Reuben Carter, The Hurricane. So it's like, do you think art gets the message across quicker? I think roundabout way to answer my question.
Music, in particular, has been prevalent forever in humanity. With it strikes a chord when you're at a music concert. You'll hear almost all the minds kind of sync together in movement, yeah, and in heartbeat. It's a natural order that comes with music and the song of words.
It's a unity.
It's something that it cuts culture. It speaks to you whether you speak Chinese or whether you speak Russian or English or
right.
It speaks across continents. So music and the musicality of words. And visual arts. I mean, you don't need a traditional language to reach a soul that way. And I think it's a common, it's an accessibility that you find through the arts. And the arts have always reached people deep down, I think. I think it's as important as it was decades, centuries ago.
Yeah.
Cavemen in their expression.
Rocks and sticks.
Yeah, rocks and sticks. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I was there.
Wow.
I have a time machine, me and Mr. Peabody.
Oh, that's where the gray hair's coming from.
I didn't want to say nothing. I'm trying to get paid. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to be back with Patsy Asuncion. This is Homegrown. Drop! 19 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn. That's Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Hey.
Clinton's on the boards. We are talking with Patsy Asuncion about the Women's History Month at the Bridge going on all through March, going down at the Bridge, PAI. We were talking about how the Bridge not only is a spot that's focused on bringing in the idea of diversity and celebrating that within our community, but the idea of dialogue,
yes,
following up with that,
yes,
you know, what does this mean to you? How does this, you know, how does this relate in socioeconomic like status? But I did want to ask a question because you brought up the Me Too campaign, and I am of the conclusion, like, let me just ask the question. Are you sick of all the excuses from men? The we're being victimized, you know, hear a story, you got to get the whole story, you know, so many questioning of all of this harassment and all of this misconduct that's been happening for decades and decades and decades and
centuries.
Yeah. And when you add all of that up, just a complete misogyny and like the, you know, you just read it in the poem, the usage as if they were amenities and not actual people. And now women are sick and tired of being sick and tired. The message is getting out. We're gonna say what's happening, what just happened.
Aziz, yeah.
I'm sorry. So it's like they're done with it. And you know, and I admit I'm part of the problem. I sat in locker rooms and I let this behavior go on, and I admit that, and I feel horrible about that, and I'm willing to listen and learn from all these women and hear all these stories and not try to put my mansplain spin on it.
Question,
brother.
Question, baby.
Are you sick of all the excuses?
I'm sick of all the excuses, but more than that, I'm incensed that we haven't done anything.
Yeah.
There has been nothing moving forward.
Nobody's listening.
I think they're turning away from the issue that's always been there, despite women speaking up. And women are saying, yeah, me too. But there isn't any movement in terms of legislation, in terms of political candidates. I don't see any movement to address those issues. My word, T-Rump has, 19 accusers?
Right.
Nothing.
At least.
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
That have come out.
Yeah.
Well, some may say because that this is like the record number of women that are running for a political office.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
Well, and record numbers of women showing up at the polls to vote. Like, yeah. I mean,
and like you said,
I
power to the polls,
really.
Learning about voter suppression.
Yes.
Learning about how to become.
There's another organization
officials.
Here in town, Liberal Women, it's called, and they're meeting now to organize and put a plan together for the polls. So
is that
kudos
helpful,
to them.
Seeing that?
Yes.
Is that progress?
I see it. It's all in the planning stages.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be thrilled when I see something actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. There are several groups here in Charlottesville that are coming together to address the Me Too issues through the polls. And several organizations, many organizations that are gathering and planning stages to address what happened last August.
Yes.
Because that anniversary is right around the corner.
Right too. Around the corner.
And so the bridge is one of them, partnering with other organizations to say, hey, where do we stand? How do we prepare? Because it's going to happen again in August.
It will happen.
Yep.
Again. I'm afraid.
Whether they have a permit or not, they're coming.
I was going to say, if not in August, sometime.
Yeah.
Sometime.
Yeah.
So that's just something else. So how do you feel about all
so
of this?
I focus on what I can do, and what I can do that's core to me is organize or help to organize women's expression in March. And that's what I'm going to do. And I have a passion about it. I feel very strongly about this. And I can see the women that have already responded feel that same passion. So,
yeah, you got a long list of people already signed up.
Yeah.
Has that been the response when you've sent this out to people, to women especially, that they've said, oh, yes, I have to be a part of that?
Yes, they're coming from all parts of Virginia, not just the convenient, greater Charlottesville area. They're coming from all parts of Virginia, and in fact DC and Maryland, and so
yeah
I'm happy that it's coming together so quickly and powerfully.
So do you think there will be any type of backlash? Because, we all know as soon as, any marginalized group of people.
Like men's rights activists are going to come into the bridge.
Well,
and
you never know.
I mean, I'm not dismissing that.
No, but anytime.
I'm not being glib.
Anytime one group of people stands up and says, and speaks their truth, there's always a backlash from.
That's true.
From another group.
What shocked me last year at the Women's March in D.C., was that there was no security.
Yes.
And yesterday, across the globe, there was no security.
No security. Yeah, I know.
The feeling I had when I marched was that it was inherently peaceful, and that everybody gathered with one common goal, and that was to come together to protest inequalities, abuse, etc.
Yeah.
And I saw that yesterday in the marches. So I'm hoping that this expression, not demonstration necessarily, but this expression of sentiment across the female spectrum in March will also be a safe place for women to come, because it's not always safe for us.
No, it's not. No.
Not even in our own homes.
No.
And I think that's something that that our male allies need to realize. And I think especially the group of men that I hang out with are slowly beginning to realize that. I mean, I had a conversation with a male friend of mine just a couple of days ago, and it's like a light switch flipped, and he goes, oh, right, it's about safety.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, he, you know, it just never had dawned on him before.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's why I keep telling guys, just shut up, dude. Just shut up and listen. Just shut up and listen. Just stop trying. Just stop. Just please. Just stop. You're making it worse. So
you will understand after you listen and think.
Yeah, you're gonna have a eureka moment, and it's gonna be like, oh crap, I've been trashed my entire life.
Yeah.
So
thank you so much for coming and talking about this. Do we have a few minutes? I want you to read the second poem you brought, because it's amazing.
This second poem is coming out in Artemis this spring. And it starts with an epigraph by Madonna, who said this at last year's march. Okay. Let's march together through this darkness, and with each step know that we are not afraid, not alone, that there is power in our unity. And it's entitled March On. Passion floods the heart, averts eyes from the road, littered by her bent body and medicated limbs. Ignited by possibilities, the elder is propelled into unsettled point of compass, far from the sobriety of closeted doorways. The gray-feathered warrior rises, resolute flag-bearer for young feminists. She wants the tenderfoots to know the warpath against injustice is long-standing, her suffering, her mother's suffering, part of their suffering. 50 years younger, she had stood front and center with other female braves to demand their birthrights. This time, the silvered champion marches more slowly, having to rest at times, but still she marches. Generation after generation, one generation with another generation, they march in diverse unity until they win back equal footing without fine print exception. Thank you for having me.
Patsy Asuncion, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my God. Please come back. You'll be back. You'll be back. You're an amazing artist. You'll be back, because this is a show about art, and it's awesome. We go into stuff? Okay. Why? I should be...
You should know how the show goes by now.
Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running February 27th, now through February 27th, Tuesdays from 6 to 8:15. Join instructor Jane Friedman for Social Media Lab for Writers, crafting a strategy and a presence that fits you in your writing career. It still says fits you, and I giggle every
No, it does
oh,
not.
It does. Oh. It does. Offered by the
Freudian typo.
White House, but meeting at Indoor Biotechnologies. We love you, FAA. FAA. Yeah, also the air traffic controllers.
Right,
there too.
Of course.
We appreciate them.
Wow. There's a lot going on.
Really good weekend. Currently running. Now through March 8th. I'm just giddy. Tuesdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Join instructor Kristen Rembold as she looks at pattern and form in poetry at the Charlottesville Writer House. Now through April 8th, Mama's birthday, the Actors Renaissance season at the American Shakespeare Center presents Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
I've heard of that.
Have you?
Yep. Congreve's The Way of the World. I've heard of that. John Marston's Antonia Revenge. You lost me. And Hamlet. Okay. And Richard II. All right, cool. Goodbye, Shakespeare. All at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Some well-known, some not as well-known. Last Chance! The Shenandoah Valley's Governor's School presents the musical Lucky Stiff. The musical?
The musical?
Lucky Stiff.
The musical.
By Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty.
Okay.
At the Shenan Arts Theater, January 24th, tour the Paramount Theater at 12 p.m. and at 5:30 p.m. Her lovely... news and culture. January 26th, Bent Theater Comedy Improv presents Improv Comedy Night at the Bridge, Progressive Arts Institute. And January 27th, Richmond instructor Cal Kelly will be teaching her brand new jazz routine to both novice and experienced dancers at the Dance Spot. February 2nd through 24th. February 2nd through 24th. Redo.
Top
Read,
girls.
Baby. Read, baby. At Live Arts.
Your turn. And for your music options this week.
It's my turn. Tonight, Travis Elliott at Rapture. January 23rd, Pale Blue Dot at the Ante Room. Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott at Fellini's. January 24th, Neil Goodloe hosts the open mic night at Dirty Nelly's. The 25th, Clay Bones at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. 26th, the Hoss of Bell Drag Show at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. Oh my God, I got it. It's spelled Hoss.
I know they spell it Hoss.
It's spelled house. Well, then they need to. It's there house. Was. Pronunciation needs to be put in that then.
No, they're being cool.
They're being bougie.
They're being
bougie. The 2018 Battle of the Bands at the Ante Room, also on the 26th. Pickin' and Grinnin' Jam at James River Brewing Company. Coda Curl.
What exactly are they picking? That's what I want to know. And why are they grinning about
know?
It?
Do we want to know? I don't know if we want to know that.
They're picking their friends and their noses.
That might be TMI. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Coda Pearl and the Drunken All-Stars at the Whiskey Jar. Well, they're in the right place, aren't they? Timmy Rawls at Dirty Nelly's. Karen Jonas at Fellini's. Wow, there's a lot on January 26th. Finally, the 27th, Craig Dodson doing country music with a classic rock twist.
What?
I don't... Okay. It's at James River Brewery. Go see it. Gabriel Planas at Fellini's. The Jason Burke Band. Hey, Jason! At Southern Cafe Music Hall. Okay. The Gladstones at Dirty Nelly's. Johnny B. and the Goods at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. The Robert Jospe Express Trio at Batesville Market. Hey, Ms. Jospe, what's up? DJ Groovematic at Rapture. Oh, my God, that's a lot of stuff. Okay. Every Friday morning, the West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church.
Seafoot.
Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, Traditional Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero. All right, here we go.
Wacky Wednesdays.
Every Wednesday. Open mic night at Pro Ray, Not a Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9.
Boom!
Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom, presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club.
Boom!
DG and Friends at the Bebedero.
Boom!
Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Boom!
Every Thursday, Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday, John Durth at Miller's. Woo! Oh my God. Let's hear a drop. Can we hear a drop?
Drop!
Gordon Stewart from Victory Hall Opera. You're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art on 94.7 WPVC.
Don't know what I did.
David doesn't know what he needs anymore.
He but I know what I get, what I want. I like it.
Oh, you got what you wanted this weekend, huh? Me too!
I got
oh my
what
God.
I needed.
We have to talk. We girl, have to talk girl, after the show. Because, oh my God. Ooh, we both got what we needed.
We're such goofy friends. And it's so beautiful. What is it? 34 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, me and Leslie are giggling. And this is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We have with us...
Oh, yes. What's next?
We have with us the next show after this show. It's called Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, and you better stay tuned because it's awesome.
You better.
Sean McCord is your host this week. His guests are Michael Suarez, director of the UVA Rare Book School.
Talking rare
about
book school?
The history of books in printing.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I think Indiana Jones has been in that crypt like eight times already.
Oh, okay.
These books belong in a museum.
Oh my God.
We have fun.
We do. Even if the joke is only funny to us.
Yeah,
like we're
Now we warm up people. They're like, what the hell is going on? And then they like warm up. Horse Shrugs was like that yesterday.
We are your Sunday morning coffee. Yep. That's what we are.
That's right. or
well,
bump
you're
of
more,
cocaine.
Yeah. I'm like coffee with cream and you a little darker.
Yeah. I'm like black tar heroin.
It'll wake you up. Put you right back to sleep.
All right. going to the guest.
Next guest.
Speaking of heroin, no, I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm totally joking.
David,
I'm totally joking.
David, don't do that.
Before I, like, cause a scandal.
Oh, my goodness.
She loses her record deal.
There's no record deal.
There will be. There will be.
We're putting that out into the universe for you so it comes back, okay?
Cool. Maria DeHart is in the house. She's a singer-songwriter. She's got an EP concert coming up. And that's your first EP release?
Yes.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! With Jay Perla. That's my dude.
Yeah, you know him?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. Really big in the activist field, so he helps out a lot too.
Yeah.
Gio and Noah Ziedman at UVA's Trash House. Come on, y'all deserve more better than that.
It's a
they put you on the trash
name.
House.
It's a traditional name?
Yeah, it was called that a few years ago. And then sort of switched around and decided to keep
January 26th. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well.
Good.
Thanks.
I'll be honest. I know nothing about you. So this is going to be
awesome.
A wonderful discussion about learning about one another.
Wow.
Learning
okay.
about, you know. And you know nothing about me either. So it's like two people
getting
just sitting down.
Getting to know you.
Yeah.
Getting to know all about you.
Sorry. Just want to go. All right.
We got songs.
All right.
Yes.
So
she
to find out. So I know a little bit more about Maria and y'all. All of our audience are throngs of listeners.
Yes, there
out
are
there.
Throngs. There
you
are
will learn
throngs.
About her as well. We got a song by Maria coming up. It is called.
Called
so well.
So well.
So well.
And it is so well. It is awesome. I need headphones.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's all I had. Wow.
I want to talk about production in a second, but the first, the very first thing that came to my mind as soon as I heard your voice was Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries, who just like recently passed away.
Yes!
And I was just like,
yes!
Holy crap.
Oh,
like, no, it sounds like a B-side from, the first Cranberries album, right? Like, it sounds like something similar to that. Is she,
really?
Like, an influence of yours?
Yeah, I love her. I've just been total in shock.
Me too, when I heard about it. That was,
I love the Cranberries.
And then I read, like, later on, how she was battling depression during all that time and everything. But, yeah, like, really love that first album, No Need to Argue. I even, like, read it.
Seriously, like, I heard that, like, the first chord and chills went down my spine like that. It's just,
where was that recorded?
In my apartment.
Okay.
Yeah,
your apartment
really
has amazing acoustics, or you have an excellent like reverb.
My friend who produced it is just, he's a magician. I don't
nice
know.
Yeah,
for real. A magician. That's like, that song, that's one of those songs that like takes you to another place, like whatever mood you're in, like as soon as that plays you're like, oh right. I am a celestial being.
Yeah,
I am
exactly. Yeah, it's got this like echoiness to it, where you can like sink into the couch or something if you're like listening to it.
So, how long ago was that recorded?
That was recorded like 2 months ago or so, something like that.
Wow! So new music. Awesome.
Yeah,
we like that.
Straight out the gate. So, so like besides Cranberries, like what are your other influences? Like what are your other like bands that like kind of like?
Yeah.
Like then and now, like what do you what were you listening to then and like?
Yeah, lately I've been listening to a lot of like Phoebe Bridgers, and Big Thief.
Oh, okay, all right,
Big Thief.
I got you.
Yeah, and then probably around the same thing when I was recording this, and then I'm always listening to like Turnover. That's like a big influence of like, I also play in a band and we play like shoegazy stuff. So
okay.
Yeah. Very cool. I like eclectic music mixtures.
Right on. So how long? So you're in a band, and this is like your solo joint.
Yeah.
Your solo EP. How long you been working on this?
The solo stuff. Kind of like for a long time, but I've never really like pursued it in full.
Right on.
Sort of.
Yeah.
In writing songs.
Like every artist.
I guess.
It's like I've been thinking about it for like 10 years, but
exactly.
I've been working on it for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
So is it like, is this going to be on the album? Or on the EP rather?
Yeah.
So you're just kind of like putting it together as you go.
Yeah. It's just four songs that aren't necessarily related to each other, but
What decided you to like take it to the next level? Because some people are just like singer-songwriters and they'll go to Miller's and they'll play every now and then, or they'll go to like some open mic, but not really like put their stuff on, you know, on the track and like actually edit it and be like, okay, I'm gonna put it out to the public. I feel good about this right now. Like what brought you from then to now, like taking it to the next level and be like, I'm gonna start putting out my music and I'm gonna start going for mine and I'm gonna get paid, damn it, because I'm an artist and I'm freaking good.
I guess it was just like, I don't know, I was like, kind of like, what am I doing writing songs and like not like being confident enough to share them and sort of like be like give myself credit. I think it's been too long.
Yeah
I think all of us get to that point though. We all get to, as artists, we all get to the point where like, you know, there's, we've been working on stuff, like we share it with other artists who are friends, and you know, and they're like, oh, this is so good, like what are you gonna do with it? And it's like, I think
at the end of the day, most artists that are holding, or most artists that are being held back are being held back by themselves.
Oh, definitely.
But we're gonna talk more with Maria the Heart. We're gonna listen to another song. It's gonna be amazing.
I can't wait.
Homegrown. Now?
Is there another song?
There better be. This is Homegrown. Drop.
Just said.
46.7 minutes past the hour.
It just, 46.7?
It's 46.7.
It's 46.7?
46.7!
So we are making our own time up today, people.
We are making our own times.
That's right.
Come on.
Because you know what?
Dagnabbit.
Time is a social construct that we created. It actually doesn't exist.
Don't Trump up this show.
It's the time is fake news.
So, Maria, could you... look? I'm interested in what you're saying about
about how long you sat writing songs but not putting them out. Could you talk about that? Because I think there are a lot of artists that go through that. I mean we see so frequently on the show the end result. People who have conquered whatever hurdle that is and put out art. Talk about that hurdle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with just like sort of not feeling like good enough, and I think it also has a lot to do with me being a woman and like feeling like I have to prove myself, and it has to be like
amen.
It can't just be good; it has to be like really, really good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a different standard. Yeah,
yeah, and I have to be,
I feel
like,
that
I have to be like really good at guitar, otherwise I'm just like a girl playing guitar.
Right. Yeah, and that automatically has a negative connotation. Yeah. 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 Oh, look at her. Isn't she cute?
Yeah.
Trying to play the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you just want to punch him in the face. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Yeah, so maybe I've just like gotten pissed and like wanted to ignore that sentiment.
Sick and tired.
Yeah.
Sick and tired. Our show's got a little theme going today.
Yeah. Yeah, I see the theme. Yeah. I see the theme, and I like it.
This is Homegrown. 94.7 WPBC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after this show for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Sean McCord's going to be there with Michael Suarez, director of the UVA Rare, Rare, Super Rare Book School.
It also has Honus Wagner's rookie card in there as well. You didn't know that? It's a rare baseball card. I tried. Talking about the history of books and printing and
we were,
so on.
We were totally down with the baseball card jokes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God. When you went to put this EP together, you mentioned you had a friend who mixed it for you. And like what kind of gathering did you bring of like your friends, your supportive friends to make this come to fruition? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, it basically started, I met this guy named Gio. He's also a UVA student, plays music, and we played together at some like little acoustic thing, and I really loved his music, and we went and grabbed some food together, and we were talking about how I wanted to release some stuff, mm-hmm. and he's part of this like music collective, like recording sort of like DIY label.
Wow.
Called Strawberry Moon Records. And they're sort of based out of William & Mary, but sort of all over the place. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, I'd be down to help you release it, which was really amazing of him. So he's totally, like, helped record and master and do, like, promotion stuff. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
Label. Yeah.
That is really amazing.
That's kind of awesome, actually.
No, but yeah. I mean, that's what you know, independent artists need is other artists to like help.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what, you know, the internet is like open for like the music industry. It's like, I'm going to create my own effing label and, you know, bring in my own artists and do everything myself because I can. Damn it.
Yeah.
Jay Perla, you already talked about Gio, Noah Ziedman. So talk about these people, how they're like incorporating their stuff into your show.
Yeah.
And how awesome it's going to be when y'all blow the roof off of the Trash House on the 26th.
Yeah, I just wanted it to be like a fun show with friends. And a bunch of my friends live at that house, so I think it'll be really fun.
Is there a cover? Yeah.
No. No, we'll probably have like a little donation box or something. But
you just got to buy the CD.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Buy the CD. Yeah, exactly.
There will be CDs.
Yay. Artists get paid.
Yeah, I believe tapes as well. People are into that.
That's
these
so
days.
Dope.
Really?
Yeah.
They've
That's
come
so
back
dope.
Now?
Yeah, they have.
We know Guardians of the Galaxy just like.
Yes.
Put
yes.
that back in the motion.
All of a sudden, I was we're say, doing tapes
where,
again.
I was gonna, yeah. Where do you find like a Walkman?
Right. Who's selling a tape deck anymore? I haven't seen one in
people
a store.
People have them.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
people have them. I don't know if they're selling them anymore.
I don't know if they're working. You know?
Relics.
No, right? Seriously, I have a whole collection of tapes like sitting next to my stereo like that I have.
And I will not throw them away.
I'm not throwing them away because some of them are like mixtapes that I was gifted. Mm-hmm. You know the mixtape thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know the mixtape thing, right?
So I got mixtape CDs too that I still have.
Right, exactly. Yep. So you know you're not throwing them away, but I have nothing to play them on.
Right.
Well, you should keep them. They're trendy.
Parents coming back.
They're trendy. Yeah.
So can you talk about the band solo artist split? Because I think it happens a lot in with music and with musicians where they're in multiple bands and they've got mm-hmm. multiple projects going, and frequently the projects are really different from each other. So yeah, what is that like? You know, the artistic life in the band versus artistic life as you as the solo artist.
Yeah. Well, in the band context, I play drums and I sing backup. So, and I don't participate as much in like the lyric and melody writing process. So it's kind of a nice like alternative to that, because I really love that, but that's like a totally different kind of project that mm-hmm. I'm in. Mm-hmm. And this is like more, I have like, not that I don't like working with other people, but I can just like, I'm only really accountable to myself.
Yeah.
So that's kind of great.
But that's good to like feed both sides of you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yeah, you can go to band practice and just be like, no, I'm just keeping the beat. Leave me alone.
Yeah. It's interesting because I remember when listening to an interview with Stevie Nicks years mm-hmm. ago, talking about going solo and saying that she had a collection of songs that she knew that Fleetwood Mac was never going to mm-hmm. cover. And so there was a stylistic difference.
Okay.
It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm also writing these things, but I know the band's not going to do this. I'm going to go and do solo. And at the same time, I think one of the members of the Heartbreakers, of Tom Petty's band, mm-hmm. Put out his first solo album after all these years and sang. And Petty didn't even know that he could sing.
Uh-huh.
Like, they'd been playing together.
Yeah.
For decades.
Uh-huh.
And Petty's response after hearing his album was like, oh, well, now I know you can sing. We're going to need to get you to...
Yeah, cool.
I was thinking about that. Like, that's kind of why I stopped writing music with bands, because you mm-hmm. always had to wait for band members to show up, and a lot of people were flakes, and you know, you had to depend on people.
Well, not just wait for them to show up, but also, like, then you have to, like... hand it to like four other people and say, do you approve?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of nerve wracking.
Yeah. Especially to people who ain't writing songs. You
right.
know? And you're like, well,
it's
I have
like,
these
you
20
ain't
songs.
Doing nothing, like, but well, you go like, hate on me for what I did.
And then mm-hmm. it's like, well, okay. How about you write a song? You write a song and then we'll play that joint. But for right now, I'm writing songs. So until you have some like creative juices flowing, you know, get the diddling. Diddle.
But have you ever written songs that you've presented to the band or
we it's just me and one other person
uh-huh.
in the band. It's called Sorority Boy, and we do like, it's definitely collaborative, like we write songs together.
Cool.
But he like sings the main parts and like comes up with the idea
right.
typically, but we do have a song or two that I've written like most of it, so that's cool too.
That's
Do you
awesome.
Have anything online? Like, if anybody wanted to like check
yeah, like
you out,
yeah, like a SoundCloud. Is there
we
a SoundCloud?
We have a Bandcamp.
Okay.
Oh,
you classy.
Hey, I'll tell you. Put your pinky up.
When Maria the Heart puts out her hip hop album, she's gonna have it on SoundCloud though.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's where they're going. That's where all the producers are going.
Oh yeah. SoundCloud. Oh yeah, definitely.
The new people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow. Okay. So, so the show is on the 26th. When is the EP available? Is it available now?
It will be available on the 26th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That date. Fresh off the presses.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hot. And it's gonna like bleed cranberries like uh-huh. into your hands, and it's gonna be awesome.
So be sure to post like the link to it and everything on the Homegrown Facebook
okay,
page.
Yeah.
We will do
so,
that.
So everybody can rush and get that.
We love awesome. Our secret artists.
Because that was an amazing song, and I want to hear more.
Oh yeah,
more.
It'll be on Spotify.
More.
Give me more.
We actually have more, but we don't have access to it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you.
It's okay.
Emails.
We're not putting. We're not
email
putting
didn't come through.
It's all
yeah,
good.
Technology only works.
No,
when
I understand.
Work
you have a label. We have to like go through A&R.
She's got
stuff.
People
yeah.
that had to like.
Yeah, I gotta call my
yeah.
people.
Say yes to that.
We only had clearance for one jam. You know,
we could only afford one kickback.
One kickback.
Right, so it's a low budget show.
We're nonprofit.
Sponsor us.
We need help.
We need money. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your music with us.
Me.
It was awesome. And I can't wait to hear the rest of the EP.
Thank you so much.
Jam on, that's a trash house.
That's right.
Yes.
January 26th.
Yes.
You no rant?
You know what? I have a little bit. I have a little bit of a show hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that.
So I did 24/7 at Live Arts.
Oh, yeah. So I was, didn't because it's grueling and it's painful.
So it is grueling.
so it's a lovely experience.
I wrote for 24/7 this time. So
who did your stuff?
And I was crazy because I got my theme and my word and all of that at like 7:30. And I was like, you know what? I know exactly what I'm going to write. I'm good. I'm a little hungry. Let me walk over and get a burger. So I literally walked around the corner and got a burger and, you know, chatted with a couple of friends and had a beer. And then I went over to Ix and watched Tiff and Vibe Riot do a show.
Nice.
And then while I'm waiting
Tiff
for them.
Tiff performed Vibe Riot?
Yeah, she sang
and
for
she
them
didn't
on,
tell me.
On Friday
wow.
night. It was
that's,
awme.
That's
but
great.
Anyway,
Nobody
so I'm
anything.
Like sitting in my car waiting for her to get packed up, right? And literally started writing as I'm sitting in my car. So by like 10:45, I had like 3 pages. Go home. By like 12:30, I had my first draft done. Sent it off for, you know, revisions or whatever. Got it revised by 1:45, sent it to Ray at 2 a.m., and then I crashed, right? Mm-hmm. Slept for 3 hours, was back at Live Arts at 7 a.m., but I did not sleep for the rest of yesterday. So I was up from like 5 a.m. to 1 a.m. this morning.
You know what that was? That was your weekly rant.
So I was a little tired.
So but, self-care is what we're trying to express here at Home Girl.
No, but sleep, Chris Esty directed my show at Live Arts last night, and he was awesome. It was, you know, my actors did an amazing job. Sharon was in my show.
Yay,
it was awesome. But yeah, we had a great time and, you know, rocked it out. Nice. Show at 7, show at 9:30, and strike, and then home, man. It was great.
That's the life. That's
it
the
is.
Life
it's the
theater.
Life of an artist.
Y'all artists know.
Of an artiste.
Y'all listening. Y'all know what's going on. Well, I love you guys. I love you, Clinton. I love you, Leslie. We'll be back next week.
I love you too, David.
See you later.
Peace.